Your Bibles tonight, you can turn with us to the book of Amos. Book of Amos, chapter number 2 this evening. As we get back to our study in the book of Amos. And we will be in chapter 2. Momentarily. And the last few times that we had opportunity to gather and we were in Amos, we were looking, of course, at the nations surrounding the nation of Israel and the fact that they were guilty of sin and the fact that God was going to judge them. And tonight, as we continue on in chapter 2, I want you just for a moment to imagine that you, and so I want you to put yourself in the place of being an Israelite, that you yourself, you're in the Northern Kingdom, and you are listening with your ears to Amos, who is communicating God's word. And now, up to this point, as an Israelite, you are very thankful. Perhaps you're encouraged and you're looking forward to God's justice. You're looking forward to God's judgment because he's going to judge the oppressive and criminal nations that are now surrounding you. And you just can't help but think, man, what good news that this seems to be. But everything said so far has worked toward one goal. And that's what we're going to consider today. And so you're there, Amos chapter 2. Amos chapter 2. And notice there, if you would, beginning at verses 6 through 8. Amos chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. The Bible says this, Thus saith the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Israel, and for 4, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they sold the righteous for silver, and the poor for a pair of shoes, that pant after the dust of the earth on the head of the poor, and turn aside the way of the meek, and a man and his father will go unto the same maid to profane my holy name. And they lay themselves down upon clothes laid to pledge by every altar, and they drink the wine of the condemned in the house of their God. Over the last few weeks, we've seen the judgments on Judah. We've seen the judgment on the other nations. But now tonight, we see the judgments on Israel. Because tonight we see just a little bit of Israel's shared guilt. Israel's shared guilt. And there's 3 particular things that I want us to see tonight. The first being this. Number one, and that is just very simply Amos's geographical point. Israel's geographical point. And so way back at the beginning of our series here in Amos, we looked at a map. And this was the map. And here on this map, we had Damascus. We had Ammon. We had Moab. We had Edom. We had Gaza. We had Tyrus. Now, these nations, they were surrounding Judah, and they were surrounding Israel. Judah, of course, being the northern kingdom. Israel being the northern kingdom. Judah being the southern kingdom. Israel being that northern kingdom. Now, we have all those nations around Israel and Judah, but then around Israel and Judah, you have a shape that is made of these foreign nations. And that shape is a circle. It's or an oval for those that care about the details. And so what we have here is God. Yes, all the nations around Israel and Judah, they were guilty. But now God is pointing out Israel's sin. But I thought of a question, and it was simply this. Well, why make this geographical circle? Well, imagine, if you would, a big target. And that big target is painted on the floor, and Israel is standing in the bullseye. And as Israel looks around the circle, they see everybody else's sin. That's very easy to do, because it's not much different than sometimes how we look at people, isn't it? Because we kind of stand in our little circle and we say, oh, look at Mandy's sin. Or look at Alan's sin. Or look at Nicole's sin. And here Israel. Look at Gaza, guilty. Look at Tyrus, guilty. Look at Damascus, guilty. And the judgment of these nations continues around the circle. But what Amos doesn't do is Amos doesn't just stop at everyone else's sin. Eventually, the circle is complete, but now the finger is pointing, and Israel is the only one left to be dealt with. My pastor used to put it this way. It's a very simple thought and a very simple illustration. But he said, when you would point your finger at somebody else and somebody else's sin, you always had three fingers pointing back at yourself. And what that just simply means is that, yes, it's very easy to point out somebody else's sin and to hate somebody else's sin. But it's another thing entirely to want to deal with our sin and to want to confront our sin. And it's likely those listening to Amos, they could hear a pin drop. And all of a sudden, someone shouts, what did Amos say? Did he just tell us that we're guilty too? Someone else might ask, would God really judge us? But every member of the northern kingdom had to acknowledge the reality of their own sin. It just wasn't about the sin of everybody around them. They too had sin. And the truth remains for us even today. Yes, everybody else around us may have their own sin, but we have our own sins too. We have our own baggage that we need to deal with. We have our own things that we need to ask God's forgiveness about. Every single one of us. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, what position you hold in the church. Listen, just because we're saved tonight doesn't automatically mean now we stop sinning. Now we're just sinners saved by grace. We still struggle every single day with that old man. Every single morning we wake up, we look in that mirror, and we have a choice to make that day on who's going to win that day. Is it going to be the new man? Is it going to be the Holy Spirit of God? Or is it going to be the old man? And you know what? I can tell you that on some days, the old man gets the better. And you have to go and you have to confess it to God. Some days you get short with that cashier. Some days you get short with that car that cut you off. Some days you get short with that person at the grocery store. Sometimes you get short with that family member. Some days you get short with somebody. Some days you might do something that you might not normally have done, or whatever the case may be. Some days those things happen. And those are the days we need to ask God's forgiveness and say, Lord, with your help tomorrow, help the new man to win the day. And we all go through those battles. God wasn't just concerned. And here's the point tonight. God wasn't just concerned with other people, but he was concerned with the obedience of his people as well. You see, Tyre, Damascus, Ammon, Moab, Edom, Gaza, they weren't God's people. Israel and Judah, they were God's people. He wanted them to obey. He wanted their obedience, and he was concerned about it. But so we see Amos's geographical point. Then secondly tonight, we see Amos's literary point. We see Amos's literary point. If we were to go back and look at the verses on Damascus and Gaza and Tyrus and Edom and Ammon and Moab and Judah in chapters 1 and chapters 2, we would find that comparatively to Israel's transgressions, compared to the others, every nation's guilt is described in 2 or 3 verses. However, when we get to Israel, Israel's transgressions is extended through the rest of chapter 2, much more than just 2 or 3 verses. In fact, we could probably make an argument that it's extended through the entire book of Amos, the rest of the entire book of Amos. And so the point isn't for us to get an exact number, but to see the care that God gives to show Israel their sin. And so after seeing God's long indictment of Israel, here's the point that Amos has been working toward. And it's a simple one. That yes, Damascus and Gaza and Tyrus and Edom and Ammon and Moab and Judah, they were guilty. But Israel was guilty too. And again, it's very easy to see sin in other people. But it's a very hard thing, and it's a very difficult thing for us to see the sin in ourselves. Because even after we're saved, one of the main things that I run into when I'm witnessing to somebody is getting them to a point of understanding that yes, they are a sinner in need of a Savior, in need of salvation. Because people don't like to think that they're all that bad, right? We don't like to think we're all that bad. And listen, by man's standards, maybe you're not that bad. Maybe you are one of the best person in the world, according to man's standard. But folks, tonight, according to God's standard, we all fall short. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so God wants Israel to realize their sin. And so in a general way, we could say that Israel was guilty of simply transgressing God's law, much like Judah was guilty of rejecting God's law, breaking it, and wandering. But now, unlike Judah, though, Amos was specific about how Israel had broken God's law. Notice there, if you would, verse number 6. Amos chapter 2 and verse number 6. The Bible says, thus saith the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Israel and for 4 I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they sold the righteous for silver. Israel's very first sin was that of the sin of slavery. But then not only that, end of verse number 6. And the poor for a pair of shoes, verse number 7, that pant after the dust of the earth on the head of the poor and turn aside the way of the meek. And so they were guilty of slavery. They were guilty of abuse of the needy. Last part of verse number 7, and a man and his father will go in unto the same maid to profane my holy name. They were guilty of slavery, guilty of abuse of the needy. They were then guilty of sexual immorality. All in all, in verses 6 and 7, we see they were guilty of exploitation. They were guilty of corruption. They were a corrupted people. And by the way, at its core, that's just what sin is. Sin corrupts you. Sin corrupts us to the core. But not only that, verse number 8. And they lay themselves down upon clothes laid to pledge by every altar. And they drink the wine of the condemned. Notice what it says. In the house of their God. So not only were they guilty of exploitation and corruption, not only were they guilty of slavery, not only were they guilty of abuse of the needy, not only were they guilty of sexual immorality, but now we see that they were guilty of idol worship. They were putting other gods over the very God of heaven. And we know that because it says, in the house of their God, lowercase g. This wasn't the God of heaven that they were worshiping. This wasn't the God of heaven that they were worshiping or offering sacrifices unto. And now, we could be more specific. We could consider each of these things more in turn, but Amos doesn't, and so we won't go more into detail with these either. But it's helpful for us to know these issues, to discuss these issues, to know that the Bible declares them to be sin. And as we go further on in Amos, we'll have more opportunity to consider these things. But for today, we just need to know this simple truth. Damascus, Gaza, Tyrus, Edom, Ammon, Moab, Judah, they were guilty. But Israel, they were guilty too. And us, when we look at everybody around us and we say, man, yeah, they're sinners, we need to be reminded we're sinners too. Say, oh, they need Jesus. We need Jesus too. They need to get their life right. We need to get our life right. And we need to be very careful. That's why, again, another thing we were taught growing up, you know, love the sinner, but hate the sin. Hate the sin, yes. But my pastor, he would always take it a step further. He says, yeah, that's a good saying, but how about you love the sinner and hate your sin, right? Because it's so easy to point out everybody else's sin and think, oh, you know what, we're not as bad as them. But no, according to God and God's word, we're just as bad. And so this now brings us to our third and final point tonight, and that is simply this, Amos's theological point. Amos's theological point, and here it is, just simply this. Everyone was guilty before God. Everyone was guilty before God. No exceptions. And the same is true today. Everybody is guilty before God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Again, it's easy to talk about everyone else's sin. You know, if you have any connection to news outlets, you know, the social media, you know, and I see it often. But stop and consider just how often you see people making judgment about other people's actions. Listen, even people who don't believe in absolute truth will passionately talk about actions they consider to be absolutely wrong. But sometimes the hardest sin to see is the sin in our own hearts, is the sin in our own lives. And Israel, they were guilty here, but they weren't just guilty of their sin. They were guilty of the fact that they didn't see her sin. They thought that they were fine. They didn't even see the fact that they were sinners. But many times, we don't see our sin either. And how hypocritical it is to ignore sin in our own life while we cry out for justice because someone else just committed the same sin against you. You think about it tonight, maybe someone else's greed has hurt you. But do you ignore that same greedy attitude in your own life? Perhaps someone tonight, they've taken advantage of you. How about you when you overlook occasions when you take advantage of others? Nathan makes this very point to David in 2 Samuel 12:7. The Bible says this, and Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul." After everything we've seen tonight, we need to ask ourselves, wouldn't you consider yourself a sinner? The answer to that, no doubt, needs to be yes. You are a sinner, I am a sinner. The only difference is the fact that we're sinners saved by grace tonight. And listen, it's not always easy to admit we're a sinner. In fact, it's generally hard to admit that we're a sinner. Because we have to expose our faults. We have to expose our transgressions. And our pride wants us, and everyone else, by the way, to believe that we are worthy of honor. We don't want people to see the chinks in the armor. We don't want people to see the chinks in the or the cracks in the armor. But not only is it hard admitting we're a sinner, at points there are just some sins that are harder to admit, because some sins people, some people, they readily admit some sins, like, oh, anger or pride or, almost jokingly, oh, yeah, every time I get a pen, I like to, sometimes that pen winds up in my pocket, Well, that's still stealing. That's still a sin. But then there's the other sins. The ones that we desperately try to hide from friends and parents and pastors and loved ones and et cetera, et cetera. And the sins of lust and jealousy and covetousness and bitterness. And on the list could go. But what sin tonight might there be in your life right now that you are uncomfortable to admit? Consider this tonight as we close. Are there any areas or actions in your life that you haven't recognized as sin, but should? Now listen, you don't have to tell me, you don't have to tell anybody else tonight. Just be honest with yourself. Be honest with God tonight. Maybe your family, your school, your culture, maybe they don't, maybe this world, they don't consider that specific thing as sin. And listen, the further we get to the Lord's return, the more and more we see the world classifying things that God classifies as sin as not being sin. But just because the world says they're not sin, if God still says they're sin, then they're still sin. They're still wrong. But is there something about this particular area of your life that bothers you? Maybe you're like Judah tonight. You feel yourself wandering spiritually in life. Maybe you need to spend some time asking God to show you the hidden parts of your heart you may be ignoring. But whatever the case may be, you need to make sure that today, this week, this month, this year, as you go on in your Christian life, that you recognize your sin. Listen, it's easy to point out everybody else's sin. But sometimes, and this is what we close with tonight, sometimes the hardest sin to see is the sin in our own hearts. We need to, every single day, keep those short sin accounts. Every single day, wherever we failed God, ask God for His forgiveness. Yes, all these other nations, they were guilty. But Israel was guilty too. Listen, everybody around you, yeah, they're guilty. Guilty of sin. But you're just as guilty. All of you tonight, you're guilty. You're guilty of sin. But guess what? I'm just as guilty. And we're all in the same boat. As sinners in need of a Savior. And if we're here tonight and we know Christ is our Savior, then we're saved. But we're still sinners saved by grace. And every single day we need His help to get victory over that sin. But it's not going to be possible if we don't recognize that sin. So yes, everybody was guilty, but Israel was guilty too. We tonight, everybody around us, they're guilty, but we're just as guilty too. Let's make it a point tonight to keep those short sin accounts and be able to recognize those sins when they come up. Let's pray.